This is episode 145, recorded on January 31st, 2014. Packard pokes at, where were you when House Facebooked my monkey?
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And this is episode 145. And on my far right, in the far right of the country, is Joe Unseen.
Go back to Jersey, you creep.
I'm not going to deal with Chris Christie anymore.
That's actually a quote from Roger Rabbit.
Oh, is it? Yeah, that's right. You were watching Roger Rabbit looking up Jessica's skirt tonight, weren't you? And judged from the mitt that is Michigan, is Dave. You're damned.
Just to clarify, I don't really think you're damned.
Oh, good.
No, but you're damned.
But you're damned, right. Y-O-U-R and Y-O-U-R-E. Never mind. Anyway... We have a great show for you tonight, and we'll get going to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. The brain, the human brain, is an amazing thing, but it's not as unique as we think. They've been doing some studies with humans and macaques to see how our brains work. And it turns out that brain regions of the regions of the brain of the macaque and humans share a lot of similarities. They're not quite as unique as people would think. They took 25 macaques and they took 25 humans and they put them in an MRI, and they had experienced different sensations, auditory and visual sensations, and they were scanning them to see what part of the brain would light up. What was interesting is that macaques were not very good at the auditory parts where the humans were. It says on the page here that the ventrolateral frontal cortex, which is this part of the brain, I believe, on the far right anyway.
Point to it again.
What's that?
Point to it again.
Right here. I think. I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't know these. I'm not sure for sure, but I think it's this part here.
I'm a podcaster, not a doctor, damn it.
That's right, I'm a podcaster. I've said that before. I'm not a doctor. It's in this part of the body. It's in here somewhere.
It's from the neck up.
Oh, is it from the... Yeah, somewhere in the neck up. Yeah. Anyway. That part of the brain is responsible for speech, and it was really interesting that they found that how the brain functions when it deals with these things. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not at all surprised by these findings. There are many traits, physical, genetic, and behavioral, that we share with the primates. Contrary to what Kim Hent says, they are our closest evolutionary relatives. I mean, apes came from monkeys.
Yep.
Humans are apes. We are apes.
Mm-hmm.
Science, yo.
Yo, yes. You know, the thing is, and he denies that apes are our distant cousins. Of course, we also share DNA with a radish as well, you know, and bananas and everything else.
Yeah.
So
we're 98% genetically compatible with chimpanzees.
That's right.
And then
we could eat them. No, I'm just kidding.
that percentage rate drops as you go down species. Like, we're closely related to pigs, mm-hmm. less than chimpanzees.
Right.
And then comes mice, which is why mice are so beneficial for cancer research, because
right.
we share a lot of DNA with them.
Yep.
But if you get all the way down to it, we're like 2% with yeast.
Yes.
I mean, all life is connected.
That's right. And I think that's why we can eat these things, because we share genetic a bond with these other things out there.
Right. Mice are delicious.
Yes. I don't know. I would never. I've never eaten one, but I'm willing to bet that. What's that?
Neither have I.
But there have been people who do, and I've heard this. I've never done it. They eat people who eat monkey brains. So, you know, they're
like an Indiana Jones.
Yes, like an Indiana Jones. So, right. Yeah, I think it basically is if you can eat it, we share some DNA with it, so we can digest it or whatever, make it part of ourselves. It's like we can't eat rocks. I mean, if someone eats a stone, the stone passes. Nothing else comes off of it. I mean, we can eat salt, too, but that's very ground up, and that I think that just passes out of us as well. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't done this study in the past. Like, we've had the MRI technology, and it's not very surprising, the findings, so I would think that someone would attempt to confirm that already. But it's pretty awesome that they found so many similarities and so many, you know, just a few things as far as the auditory, the decision-making, planning, multitasking abilities,
mm-hmm.
were that's what was different. And yes. I think that the real question here is what makes us distinctly human? Because everything that makes us humans with the consciousness that we have is less than 2% divergent from mm-hmm. chimpanzees, as you're saying.
Right. I was reading in the chat room, Dawkins Dog said, nothing nicer than a bag of fish and chimps. I smell a show title.
It makes me wonder, are we 98% chimpanzee and 2% yeast?
Maybe. Well, we do grow. Just not quite that quickly. Anyway, all right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Well. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
There's a lot of things you post on Facebook. You tell everybody about what you're eating, what you're doing, who you're fucking, who you're not fucking, who you wish you were fucking. And sometimes people post things what they're being a fucking idiot. This man, he posted on Facebook that, hey, I'm wanted by the police. And 45 minutes later, busted. That's the fucking stupidest thing. There's a lot of people who post stupid things on their Facebook page. There was a lady that posted that she had just robbed a bank, and she got busted too. But this guy, his name is Anthony James Lichkowitz, and he saw this wanted poster on Facebook that the police had posted. And the police were, of course, watching his Facebook page, and he goes, hey, fucking love it, asshole. You know, and I think he may have wanted to post this to his friends privately, but it went out to his public wall. And
I don't know how to use Facebook.
Yeah. How do you use Facebook anymore? You know, of course, they do keep changing the rules, so it doesn't matter what settings you put it on. Yeah. They're going to make everything public anyway, so fuck it.
All right.
Yeah.
How can my boss see my pictures?
I wasn't using that cocaine. Oops, there's the picture of me using the cocaine. But yeah, no, there's a lot of things that these people put on there. You know, if you get busted by the cops and there's a wanted poster for you, don't go to the police station's photo page. Post the picture on your Facebook page. What was funny, the way they caught him, they made a fake account, and they said some woman said, hey, you want to meet and get together or whatever, you know, have sex or whatever they said. I'm assuming that's what they said originally. He goes, oh, no, I can't do that. But eventually got it down. Well, let's just go and, you know, meet for coffee, you know. And so, well, I could meet for coffee. And they busted him shortly thereafter. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, like you just said, they caught him by creating a fake Facebook account that looks like an attractive woman. I've talked about this on the show before. The police do this for real.
Mm-hmm.
In my hometown, there are many Facebook accounts that look like attractive women. They claim to have attended the local high school in the last 10 years. Nobody knows who the fuck these chicks are, and they friend request everyone. It's the cops.
Mm-hmm.
These profiles are used to snoop into who's throwing a party, who's doing what, who's going where, and sometimes they post stupid shit like, oh my god, I would totally go for some Molly right now. Who has some? Like, people who post to Facebook looking for drugs in real life. Like that's it's a total sham.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy fell for it. He fell for it knowing the cops were looking for him, and so he's an even bigger idiot. Like, yeah. This chick that he had no clue who she was, contacts him and is like, and she's like, oh, let's hang out, let's hang out. And he's like, no, I'm wanted by the police. I'm hard. I'm hard like that. You know, I'm a fucking wanted man. And she's like, all right, well, let's just get together and have a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
That was the ploy. And he's like, all right. And so he taunted the cops by reposting their wanted poster. After they caught him, they taunted him right back and said, yeah, he shared our post, and we got him 45 minutes later.
Yep.
Booyah.
I know, that was so fucking funny. It's like, I can't believe that. It would have been even better, even more ironic, if they had actually got it while he got him and arrested him, gone to his Facebook page, say, oh, by the way, I just got fucking arrested. So.
Can I use my phone to update my Facebook? I mean, call a lawyer. Can I do a selfie of me handcuffed to the wall?
Yeah, right. Dave, your thoughts?
This guy's clearly a genius. No, seriously, I mean, seriously, people need to learn not to post personal things on the internet like that, in general.
You mean people post things on the internet about themselves?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? Really? Yes. Oh, the hell you say, Dave?
I like grape sandwiches. I tweeted that earlier today.
Grape sandwiches. Yum.
Yeah, grape sandwiches are delicious.
I've never actually had one. I eat tomato sandwiches.
Now I know something about you.
Actually, my sister does. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
What gets me is he has this attractive chick contact him on Facebook, and he agrees to meet her for a cigarette, mm-hmm. reluctantly, not reluctantly. I mean, same day as first encountering this woman on the internet, which is weird in itself, especially when you're wanted by the police.
Yeah.
But the thing that gets me is that the undercover officer that showed up, hold on. His name was T.J. Rentsler.
Mm-hmm.
That's a man's name, right?
Yes, I would think.
So you don't know something's up when it's a man who shows up undercover?
I doubt that's the name he used on the account.
It's
You know, that happens just to be the arresting officer.
Yeah.
Well, but he's what? All right.
They often do that with officers. They have a fake account with a fake woman on there.
Sure, doesn't show up.
They don't know. They do this kind of stuff all the time. These kind of stings. They say a woman's going to show up. They stake out the place where they want him to show up, and then as soon as he walks in the door, and he sits himself down to order a drink or whatever, and they walk up to him, they ask him his name, and they snap the cuffs on him. They don't even need to have a female show up.
So. I mean, there are just so many red flags here. I'm just clearly surprised that the guy.
Not me.
He's a complete idiot.
Yes.
A complete idiot. I mean, like you said, Dave, like he's wanted by the cops. He shared his wanted poster, and within minutes of that, some strange random woman approaches him on Facebook and says, hey, let's hang out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and he's just like, all right.
Hey, men are horny. They know this. They take advantage of it.
I do love that the police department, after they caught him, actually announced the capture on their Facebook page.
I know, that's what I liked about it, too.
They totally gloated about it. They're just like, we caught that asshole.
In all caps, shares our status on Facebook about himself, captured 45 minutes later.
Yep.
Nice.
I thought that was awesome.
The cops are a bunch of dicks, too. I mean, of course they're going to troll the internet.
No! They don't do that. They're honorable!
You know what's really creepy is a lot of these fake female accounts on Facebook, which are actually cops, are actually being helmed by middle-aged men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're sitting there trying to like act like, you know, women in their early 20s who like to party, and they say the most ridiculous things. It's almost obvious, you know, you like see the things they post, and it's just like, oh my god, like da 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 da. And it's like, dude, you're a fucking cop.
It's quite obvious, or they're just spammers, or there's someone trying to get into your account so they can hack your account and do all kinds of nasty things.
Holy shit, I'm so baked right now. Who's gonna hang out with me at the bar later? I'm gonna get so fucking drunk.
Yep. I'm feeling kind of horny right now. You want to come over to my site and watch me get naked? You know, these kind of things.
So you're telling me all those girls I talk to on the internet aren't real?
Some of them might. Some of them might be a man wearing a dress.
Breaking my heart here.
Did you go to your high school and nobody knows who they are?
I went to your high school. Do you remember me? I sat behind you in, what was it, English class? You know, that doesn't take much.
Maybe they're just quiet, all right? I love it.
I attended that high school from 2002 to 2010. I mean, I'm totally legit.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, speaking of getting in touch with people on Facebook, if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter and so forth. And there's also the phone number here below, which is 662-709-PPAP. Give us a call, leave a comment, suggestion, whatever. Read us a bedtime story. Whatever you want to say, just, you know, give us a call. Long-distance charges may apply. So, and if you want to get in touch with us the other ways, so we're going to give you that information right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt, and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Damn, you do such a good job at that.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore without fingering my belly button.
I am not even going to ask why.
Because it tickles, yo.
I'm not even going to go there anymore.
I know you want to. We'll save it for the after show.
Save for the after show. Let's get on to our next topic. Being an atheist requires one thing. You don't believe in a God. It's actually not a requirement. You have a choice to believe in one or not. But we often get asked a lot of questions. Why you don't believe in things like that. And sometimes we get some of the stupidest questions out there. And it just to try to prove their case, which doesn't make any sense at all. The biggest and the stupidest one I've gotten before in the past, and I'm sure there's a lot of other atheists that get this one, and because Ken Ham tells his followers to say this question because they think it's the gotcha question. The question is, well, were you there? Oh, my fucking God. Oh, that doesn't make any fucking sense. It's the stupidest question. It's also a very disingenuous type of a question because the fact is they know the answer. They know that, no, you weren't there 50 million years ago. But you know what? Sometimes I'll say, yeah, I was there. Prove it. Prove I wasn't there. You know, I built a time machine. It's in my garage. And I went back in time and I saw everything. And I came back. And as soon as I stepped out, it exploded. It disintegrated. So I have no time machine to show you. So you're just going to have to prove that I wasn't there. You know, that I wouldn't actually use that one in a major argument. But it's just kind of throw the thing back in their face. So, you know, the whole question is just ridiculous. We're going to start the time. It's right. The timer has been on vacation, and it's looking nice healthy for being on vacation for so long.
The timer's back?
The timer's back.
Oh, fuck. I didn't prep for that.
That's Well, anyway, we're going to start the timer now. Joe, or Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, so this question of were you there is disingenuous, and it's a loaded question, and they obviously already know the answer to the question, making it disingenuous. So, I mean, the better question would be, how do you know? If they were to ask, how do you know, then they can actually get something out of it, as opposed to, were you there? They,
right.
They actually are getting no information out of asking that, because they already know the answer.
Right.
My real problem with this goes back to Ken Ham and what he does with children, and he teaches them to ask, were you there?
Right.
If you look at different children's worksheets from evangelical schools, a lot of them say specifically to ask people whether they're there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really teaching children to be disingenuous.
Yes.
And I find that offensive,
yes.
Quite frankly.
You know, one of the major problems with this were you there question is, okay, let's say someone gets murdered. We'll take a very famous murder, Jeffrey Dahmer. Was I there? No. I didn't see him do it, but there's a lot of evidence to prove that he was there, you know, and that he did kill these people, and the evidence is abound. Same thing goes for because they use this usually with the Big Bang. Well, were you there when the Big Bang happened? Well, fuck no, I wasn't there. I'd be fucking atomized if I were there, dipshit. You know, it's fucking retarded question. I'm sorry, I use a word that most people find offensive. I'm sorry, but that's it is a retarded question.
Fucking.
Yeah, I said fucking. It is a stupid question, you know, and it's
a misunderstanding. It's they don't understand the evaluation of evidence and how that actually works. And that evidence does not have to be firsthand eyewitness evidence.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're really using a special pleading in the situation, because if you were to ask them whether or not they were there at the crucifixion or at mm-hmm. the resurrection,
right?
They obviously weren't either. So they're using an argument to you that they themselves are being disingenuous about their side of it as well.
Right. Yeah, they'll say, well, I didn't need to be there because I have a book of people that were supposedly there.
Right.
But
just totally so.
Yeah. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what Dave said is exactly spot on. I mean, whenever anyone asks me, like, hey, were you there, man? Were you there? It's like, well, neither were you, dumbass. And I've gotten this argument many times on Twitter. Sometimes in another forum, like, well, did you do the scientific experiment yourself? How do you know the results are true if you didn't do the experiment yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a very desperate plea when the religious are challenged on the authenticity of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
They call into question all of reality, because you call into question their fairy tales.
Right.
So they're just like, well, you know, if you can cast doubt upon this, I cast doubt upon everything.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great argument right there. Yeah, you're right. You're spot on with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking, let me know how that works out for you.
No Soap for Troll in the chat room. He says it's on par with, do you think you know everything question? Yeah, that is...
Right. No, I never claimed to know everything.
I never claimed to know everything, right. I've never claimed to know everything. I mean, I would like to know everything if I can, but I know that's an impossibility.
I would like to know the unified theory of physics, but I don't.
Right. I'd like to know what the winning lottery numbers are going to be, but I don't.
Well, plus, first you'd have to quantify what everything is.
Right. What would everything be? I mean, or let's just get back to the main thing there, you know, where are you there? You know, it is a ridiculous statement. It's a ridiculous question. You know,
right. It's like if the Hubble telescope looks at another star and sees a planet going around the other star, which happens.
Right.
We've done this. Well, were you there to see the other planet?
Mm-hmm.
Were you on the other planet?
Oh, yeah.
How do you
I was
know
on
the other
planet's
there if you weren't on the planet?
Right. But the thing is, when I come up with a great answer for this is that I don't need to be there because, one, like I said, the evidence and the planet's there. And they'll say, well, you're just taking it from one source. No. Things like this, it's from multi sources. I say, hey, I found something that looks like a planet out there. Would somebody else verify it? Now, if I took it from just one source, like they do with the Bible, then, yeah, I would be just as disingenuous with that response. But seeing that that they have looked for this planet and somebody says they found it, and then they say, okay, this is the coordinates, this is where you need to look, this is the time of the day look, then you get independent verification.
Science is publicly verifiable.
Right.
That's one of the points of science, is it's publicly verifiable.
Right.
There's nothing secret about it. There's no conspiracy. All of scientists aren't sitting around going, all right, we actually know there's a God somewhere, but we're not going to tell everybody about it because it's about that. No.
We saw God in the telescope, but don't tell anybody because it'll fuck everything up.
If there was evidence for a God and even one scientist got wind of it, they would be running right to Geneva going, I want my Nobel Prize. Look what the fuck I found.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Joe and I were basically debating this topic earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say with whom.
But, annotated Bible.
What's that?
At Annotated Bible, otherwise known as CAB. Bible Fusion. His name is Daniel. He lives in Oklahoma.
it's such a common question to be asked, and it's completely fallacious, and it's disingenuous, and people need to stop using these sort of questions and start being honest in their debates, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is a nonsensical question. I don't know how many times I need to repeat that. You know, it's just, please, if you're Christians out there, please don't repeat this stupid question because it doesn't make any actual sense. Oh, and that's time. Yay!
Whoa, that was perfect! Welcome back, timer! I miss you, old friend! Not really, go fuck yourself.
But yeah, the were you there question, it's stupid. Don't use it. Unless you're asking someone, hey, did you go on the ride? Yeah, it was fun. Were you there on the ride? Yeah, or not. You know, then if you're asking their opinion on something, that's a good question. If you're asking for using it as for evidence for like evolution and shit, not a good question. All right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They Were an Atheist? We're going to be talking about somebody who played a doctor on TV, and he actually came out as an atheist in the show, and he's a British actor. His name is Hugh Laurie. He's a comedian.
Get out!
He's a comedian, writer, and he's also, like I said, he's best known for his being the star of the television show House. You know, the guy that walked around with a cane and kind of did stupid things once in a while, but turned out to be really smart, usually most of the time. But he had a big-ass ego. Of course, being a doctor, he's kind of got to have a big ego, too. But I think that's just the way they wrote his character. But one of those quotes that he has from a 2006 appearance on Inside Actors Studio, originally air date on 7/31/06, he had the following exchange with James Lipton. Lipton asked him, do you share House's skepticism? He said, laughing, I do, big chunks of it. Yes, I am not a religious man. Again, I think this is connected to my father. My father was religious, oddly enough, but nonetheless, I suppose was impressed by and enamored of his devotion of medical science. I am a fan of science. I believe in science, a humanity before the facts. I find that a moving, beautiful thing, and belief in the unknown I find less interesting. I find the unknown and the unknowable interesting, though. Another quote here from the Daily Telegraph. The segment is Man About the House. He says, I don't believe in God, but I have this idea that if there were a God or destiny or some kind of thing looking down on us, that if he saw you taking anything for granted, he'd take it away. So, yeah, he clearly says he does not believe in God. Joe, your thoughts?
Hugh Laurie is awesome.
Yes.
I saw a documentary about his jazz music trip to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
He flew his airplane to his convertible, and he drove across country with his guitar and played jazz with local musicians as he stopped along the way.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, he doesn't have an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And this personal fact carried over into his television character House, which is now a popular atheist meme.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring epic quotes, not from Hugh Laurie the actor, but from House the character.
Right.
You know, whenever you see Hugh Laurie's face with that awesome quote next to it, it's from House the TV show.
That's right.
Carried into popular culture.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that's just great stuff. I'm a huge fan. He's a super intelligent guy. He's an actor, a musician, a pilot, you know, historian. He's just great. I love him.
Yes. Dave, your thoughts?
I've got to agree with Joe. He's awesome.
Yes.
Hugh Laurie, well, first off, House is a sweet show.
Mm-hmm.
I learned from this that in 2010, when they had looked through everything, they found that Hugh Laurie was the highest paid actor in America in a drama, a television drama.
Really?
For House, at $400,000 per episode.
Wow.
Which is small for comedic, like sitcom actors, but mm-hmm. for drama, that was impressive.
Yes, I would say so.
I also learned that his father is a gold Olympic champion in rowing from the 1948 Olympics, and he was there at the 1936 Olympics when Hitler actually walked off.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome as well.
Yes. I was going to make a row, row, row your boat joke here, but I...
He also has taken up boxing.
Mm-hmm.
He said his reason for doing that was that he had grown tired of all things Eastern.
Hmm.
And he didn't want to celebrate martial arts or Tai Chi or anything like that. And he actually took up boxing for that reason.
There's some quotes here from House from the show here. I'm going to read one of this. It's a great one because it's on a meme. I've seen it several times. He says, if a person talks to God, he's religious. If God talks to him, he's psychotic. That's from
yep.
House Season 2, Episode 19. Actually, I think I caught that one day. So I was like, oh my God. There was one episode where some people put themselves up on crosses, or this one guy did. He had himself put up on a cross, and he was kept smiling every time he was in pain, wincing in pain, because he had some kind of weird thing going on with him. So it was a very interesting show, and the drama of it was just very well laid out. Anyway, that's it for us tonight. But if you have a comment, question, the number again here is right below. Or if you're listening to us on the podcast, the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. Give us a call. Leave a voice message. Leave your first name or character name or whatever you want to call yourself. And tell us what you like, what we got wrong, what we got right, anything you want to tell us. And anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming, and we'll be back next week with our regular show. And this has been Packard Pokes It. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.